It's nice to be able to connect with people Sunday mornings, isn't it? I have gone to many a church where the preferred way of worship Sunday morning is to sneak in, sneak out, talk to as few people as possible, and call it a day. And I love that in this church, everyone likes to make sure everyone else is doing well and find out what's going on in their life and connect and be invested in each other, because really that's what God's about, is relationship, right? That is close to his heart, is relationship with him and relationship with each other. And so I know some people can sometimes feel like this time that we have in this service is just a prolonging the inevitable, right? Let's just get to the word. Let's get to the end. Let's go home. Let's have dinner. But I really think that it's an important part of our worship Sunday mornings. And so thank you for engaging in that point in the morning, even if it's maybe a little uncomfortable if you're introverted or you're really just wanting Swiss chalet, whatever it is. Thank you. So this morning, we have been talking this month about Thanksgiving. So today we are going to look at talking to God about it all. But before we do that, I want to recap the last couple weeks, possibly. Gabe, is there something else I need to do, sweetheart? No? Can you click the next one for me since it's not working? Okay. We're going to do them one at a time, okay, Gabe? We're going to teamwork this morning. So in review, first point. We're going to have Thanksgiving every day was what we talked about the first time, right? The things we love about Thanksgiving are God's heart for us as his people every day of the year, which is only achievable if we're being renewed into the knowledge and image of our Creator. People can do it for a small piece of time, a Thanksgiving dinner. But to do that day in, day out, consistently, it requires being renewed by the Holy Spirit and by God and becoming one in what he wants. That results in worship and gratitude and thankfulness. So we convey that. We kind of touched very briefly on Thanksgiving Sunday morning that scripture referenced songs of praise and psalms of praise and instruments and voices and all those kinds of things. Next point, Gabe. Last week we talked about grateful praise. And grateful praise, in that our worship must be happy. Right? We discuss worship must be happy. Worship must use your brain. It's not a moment where intellectually we check out and we're not engaging. We are contemplative in our worship, and worship must center on God, who he is, and what he has done. If our worship is self-focused, it's not actually worshiping the Creator, and that is what that is to be about. If it's self-focused, we are actually worshiping self. And that is not something scripturally that we are called to do as believers in Christ. So those are what we have touched on so far in our series. I'm going to ask Gabriel and William if they can dim the lights, and we have a little video again this morning. It's actually, I will warn you, a sermon countdown from another church. We are not counting down, however, you're just going to enjoy the video.
Hey guys, I'm Carly Kloss, and I just created my own website with Wix. With Wix, it's easy, and the result is stunning.
Tom and Eddie, the Skit Guys, here to help you to conquer your fear with 5 tips.
That's right. Number... That's right. Number 5, acknowledge your fear. Write it down.
What's up, everybody? My name is Chris. I'm here with my buddy Josh. And today we are continuing in our series entitled Good Wife. That's a good one. Everybody, my name is Chris. I'm here with my buddy Josh, and today we are continuing in our series entitled Why Worry? And we thought it would be cool for Josh and I to kind of come together and share some of the things we worry about. Mm-hmm. And today we are making a stand and saying, no more. We will not be worrying about these things anymore. And hopefully we can encourage you today.
No more worries. So we've got our lists and we're going to go through them. Chris, what is number one on your list?
Number one on my list is my kids. Mm. And my kids are beautiful, identical twin girls.
Aww.
And I worry, you know, what if I can't tell them apart?
Well, I was going to save this for number two, but there's an asteroid that's going to hit the Earth within 10 years. Wipe out all humanity, one fail swoop.
There's a big chance.
Yeah.
Like a one in a billion?
Like one in three. One, two, three.
One in three chance.
Definitely one in three. I mean, it's probably going to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
So. What's your number two?
I had no idea. I don't... I mean, it has money.
Your number two is money?
But I'm not gonna...
You don't need money when the Earth's blown up. But you will need space bucks aboard my spaceship.
You're building a spaceship.
This is the cockpit, okay? That's me and you. We're smiling. Level two is for the party room. Level three here is a storage room. You can put tennis rackets or maybe drums if you want to bring those along. But that's not even half the problem, Chris. Black holes, asteroid fields.
There could be a solar flare.
A black hole detector. Radiation. That could turn everyone on board into mutants.
It could be a good thing. What if we mutated into some kind of superheroes?
Like Wolverine.
Like an X-Men type
deal.
There you go.
All right.
You'd be...
I'd be Wolverine.
I think I'd be Storm.
Storm? That's a girl, though.
Man Storm.
A hurricane.
I'd be a himicane.
Awesome. So once we get to the planet, I'm not even sure that my spaceship's... Dinosaurs, overly sized bears, large bears, develop plans and ideas to defeat the dinosaur and become the dominant species on planet Josh.
But it still doesn't solve the problem. What if they're hostile?
You're just trying to worry about everything. Don't
How
worry
can you
about
not
it.
Worry? How can you not worry? We're talking
okay,
about the
if you really,
ending.
If
I don't
you,
want to spend
if you, if
four...
You, Chris, are you crying?
Let's see. Oh, my last thing. I'm worried... The smile on your face. Don't bring everyone. Worried about getting that bumper back on my car.
Great, that's an easy fix. Comparatively.
I hope this helped. Service is going to start now. So I'm going to talk to my wife.
Your wife, that's a good one. Get a wife. Check.
Thank you guys in the back. Sorry for the technical difficulties there. We got it under control. A himicane, that's a new word. So worry. I know we're talking about Thanksgiving, but we're also talking about worry today. I am going to get you to turn, if you have your Bibles, to Philippians chapter 4. Lights, camera, action. There's lots of things to worry about in life, isn't there? I thought about putting the countdown clock on before service, and then I thought it might be really hard to worship after listening to such a stressful list of asteroids and whatnot. So I held off until there. Philippians chapter 4. We are going to be reading verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So I have been literally spending the month looking at scriptures on thankfulness. And it's actually not as easy as you think to come up with one message on Thanksgiving. It's all through the Bible, but it's a little bit of a difficult topic to tackle. So when I felt that we should tackle it for an entire month, I knew it had to be God, because it would not be my first personal preference. My clicker's still not going to work. Gabe, can I have the next one, please, sweetheart? One of the things that I have found interesting is that each place that Thanksgiving is kind of tackled in Scripture, it almost looks like it's not like it's thrown in as an afterthought, but it's just kind of in there. It's not the focal point of most of the Scriptures, and yet it's in there. But when you dig through them and you look at how things are tying it in, it's always important in each one of those passages. So this morning, as we talk about it, you're supposed to rejoice in the Lord. What on earth? Last week, we talked about the fact that we are to shout for joy. That was what Psalm 100 commanded us. Shout for joy. Rejoicing in the Lord is a very similar concept, but it's this idea of taking delight in him. Okay, so we have the command last week to verbally shout, to declare, whether it's words or sounds or excitement, that kind of thing. I demonstrated it. I won't do that again. But this week, we are told to take delight and take pleasure in the Lord. What does that look like? I think that the best place to see delight is in children. I think back to a couple years ago, Pastor Trevor and I worked for 2 years to plan in secret a trip for the kids to Disneyland, to Disney World in Florida. And so we secretly had fabricated all of these plans. We didn't tell our kids. We woke them up at 4:30 in the morning on a school day, and they were kind of like groggy, and a couple of them not necessarily the most happy. And we told them to put on some clothes. I had, in secret, while they were at school that week, packed everything for 3 weeks in Florida in the back of the van. They had absolutely no clue. They had been in and out of the van, so it wasn't like life had been disrupted. Zero clue. They had no clue what was going on. They get in the van, and I don't even think we drove less than 5 minutes when they were like, we were like, well, where are we going? Well, we're not telling you. If we wanted to tell you, we would have warned you. So we played this out, and it took, I think Aaliyah was the first one to guess it. Pardon? Yes. Either way, it was about 5 minutes in, and she just knew. She said, we're going to see Aunt Mo and Brave in Florida, and we're going to Disney, aren't we? They were so excited. The one place that our plan did backfire was we thought that they would fall asleep. We thought in waking, actually, I think it might have been 3:30. We thought that they would fall asleep in the van again till at least we got to the border. We thought we were probably safe. Well, they were so excited. They were so delighted in the plan that they were giddy and got along until like 2 hours into the States. We drove from here until 2 hours across the border before we had to stop for breakfast because they were so rejoicing in the situation that they didn't even have time to disagree with each other. It was amazing. When you think about when you give your kids, our kids don't get pop very frequently. They have like other treats, but pop is a big luxury item. When you give them that can of pop and their eyes just kind of are like consumed and you can see them salivating, right? Kids delight in things very easily. As adults, it takes a little bit more to get us excited, doesn't it? Yeah. So like the most excited I think I've seen an adult is a woman who just got engaged. She is rejoicing. She is shouting for joy. She is very, 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 very delighted, right? But there aren't a lot of moments as adults that we really, truly experience that place. But it is so important here that we are told not once to do it, but twice. Twice to rejoice in the Lord. Do you delight in the Lord to the extent that we are commanded to? Most of us, probably it's something we could add a little bit of growth in ourselves to, right? I do not look at the Lord like I look at a Dairy Queen Blizzard. That delights me. And obviously, I'm a little tongue-in-cheek here. Those things are not comparable. Our delight in the Lord is to be exceedingly greater than that. It's to be more intricate than that, more intimate than that. So no, I'm not comparing God to a Dairy Queen Blizzard or Disney World. Mm-hmm. But I am saying those are the things we're familiar with the emotion in that we are being commanded to feel at this place in time. And so it's definitely something that we should do. Let your spirit be gentle. Or let your gentleness be evidence to all. The Lord is near. Gabe, you want to hit the next one? Ready or not, I'm coming back soon. Jesus. In the Amplified version, which I love because it kind of makes things more succinct, it says, let your spirit be gentle. Your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. At the end of the day, we worry very easily, don't we? And I'm not talking, okay, because I want to be clear today. There is general anxiety and general worry, right? So a guy backed into my car this week in a parking lot. I had anxiety. It was not an anxiety attack. It didn't paralyze me, but I knew I needed to call Pastor Trevor and tell him that our very nice new van now had some paint missing from the back end of it from a kindly gentleman who was sure that his rearview camera was enough for him to back out of the space. I was a little bit worried, right? I was a little bit worried about because my back bumper is cameras and sensors too. So when something happens to the back bumper of a vehicle like that, it's not a cheap fix. So I was worried. I was a little bit worried. But it's not the same as if I'm having a panic attack or if I'm overwhelmed with anxiety to the point that I'm needing medical help, right? They're similar words that we use for this situation, but they are different. So I do want to be sensitive to the fact that there are those who suffer with a different level of anxiety. But I still do think that the principles that the scripture is going to give us this morning, and I know from personal experience in my situation, benefited me in those moments, although it did play out differently than it does in the moments where I'm just kind of stewing on my own nothingness, okay? So the thing is that Jesus is coming back. So we are told to look at our worries and anxieties in light of the fact that Jesus is near. This isn't speaking about his Holy Spirit is near to us so we can be calm in that. It's actually referencing the fact he's coming back to get us. So when you think about what's worrying you, in light of Jesus coming back, is it that big of a deal? When you think about someone who is anxious, because if we go on, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Gabriel, can you push the next slide for me? When we stay focused on the fact that Jesus is coming back, our worries dissipate. Because what happens when we get worried or anxious is we start functioning in really unhealthy patterns, don't we? My fuse gets very short when I'm anxious. It's not even because anyone has done anything different. It's because I'm so overwhelmed in my head that one little request for a peanut butter sandwich with the crusts cut off is like someone has driven over a landmine. It's not at the end of the day. It's not. But when we get anxious, we just become more internally volatile is kind of what happens. And so what happens is, and the reason that these verses tie together the way that they do, is when we become anxious, we're not very gracious. When we become anxious, we are really focusing on ourselves and the problems that we're facing, right? I'm focused on me and the fact that my bumper of my van is now ruined. That's a problem. I'm anxious. I'm focused on myself. I am not very merciful when I'm anxious. Now, granted, I was with the man in the parking lot. You all would have been very proud with me. I was very gentle. I was very patient up until the very end, and then I still was very polite. Truly, I truly was. It was much better than it could have been. When we are anxious, we're not very tolerant. We're just not. We are not a tolerant people when we are dealing with worry and anxiety. And why is that? Because we already feel like we're at our maximum capacity. We might not be feeling that, right? So there are many moments where Pastor Trevor will say, why are you so overwhelmed? You can handle so much more than this. I know I can handle more than this. Absolutely. I'm just not feeling very tolerant of what I have to handle right now because I'm anxious. I'm worried. I'm stewing on things that are either out of my control or are within my control, but they still have to happen. We're not tolerant when we're anxious. We are not overly patient when we're anxious, are we? I'm not. I'm just not. It's not, we don't come across, if you see someone in an anxiety attack, they are not going to make you feel calm. They are not. They can try their best, but if you know that they are in an anxiety attack, they're not making you feel calm because they are so overwhelmed with their state of self. Not because they're self-obsessed, but because it's just the nature of what happens. You're so busy trying to get yourself out of that place and those worries that you actually can't focus on someone else. But that is not the way we are supposed to function in our life decisions, because Jesus is near. He's coming back. So in light of Jesus coming back, how big of a deal is my back bumper? If he comes back tomorrow, I'm not even going to need to worry about it. Right? But the thing is that at the end of the day, we've lost a little bit of perspective about Jesus coming back because we've been waiting for a while. The urgency is a little bit less pressing, right? It's one of the things that as Pentecostal churches, doctrinally and theologically, the seminary is really having to dig into and encourage, because Pentecostal churches have shifted a little bit, because when they started, they were convinced Jesus was coming back that night. It was like the upper room, right? That was the pressure of the imminence of Christ's return at the beginning of the Pentecostal movement in Canada 100 years ago. Well, it's been 100 years. We still believe he's coming, but maybe 100 years later, our sense of certainty about how soon it may be is a little bit wavering. It's like the bride-to-be. One of my girlfriends tells a story of when her and her now husband were dating, and she knew they were going to be getting engaged, but he would just never propose, ever. And so she just never actually believed it was going to happen. She had finally gotten a couple years out to this place of like, it's just, we're just going to live together. They're not Christians. We're just going to live together, and that's just the way it's going to be. So when it finally happened, it was like, is this for real? Did this really happen? It's a little bit like that at some points in this journey for us as believers, isn't it? We know it, but we don't live in light of it. When we were in Armprior, and I was going to read it to you this morning, but I left it on my desk. Our last year in Armprior, as I have shared, was very painful for me personally. I was dealing with a lot of stuff, had entered into a situational depression and anxiety, which required medication and counseling and all kinds of stuff. But man, I had some of my best God insights in that season. And I have a journal entry that someday I will share with you. And it's about living in the tension of, for that last year, I really felt that God was calling us out. So everything that I did from the time that Jackson was born, I did in light of us leaving. So when I packed up the Christmas decorations that year, I didn't pack them like I normally did because I knew that we were leaving. So I packed all of my boxes of Christmas decorations different. When I packed up the kids' clothes for the seasons, I packed them up different because I knew that we weren't going to be staying. We didn't have another church. We were still there. We hadn't looked for other churches. But I had this overwhelming sense, we're not going to do this season here again. So I made preparations the whole way through. Well, Jackson was born the 30th of November. By the time we reached June, and I am now 6 months deep into packing everything up, feeling like we're leaving and God is doing something, I'm getting a little bit frustrated, a little bit irritated, because now I'm wondering, have I made all of these preparations in vain? Am I going to be taking, I mean, it's not a big deal, so I pack the Christmas decorations different, right? Like, I just take them out different. It's not the end of the world. But reconciling this feeling of urgency that I felt, and yet the lack of action in life changing, it literally was just like, and my counselor described it as like a string that's just under pressure. It's the tension that we live in. And I have a journal entry from the end of August where I realized this tension that I feel, we were at that point, the tension was specifically related to, and I remember it clearly, it's now the end of August, snow flies early outside of Ottawa, and we have this huge summer gazebo drilled to the back deck. And I feel like we need to unscrew this gazebo and somehow put it into the garage because we are not doing this season here again. But I'm looking at this gazebo and I'm looking at all of the other things that I have prepared in life for this imminent move that is not happening. And I'm thinking, is it really worth taking this gazebo down? We're probably going to be here next summer at this point. If I tell Pastor Trevor he has to take this gazebo down, he is not going to like me because it was not fun to put back up. And if we are still in this house next year and that gazebo has to go back up, I don't know what's going to happen. And so I literally was sitting at my kitchen, my dining room table, journaling, looking at this gazebo, and then it hit me. This tension that I was living in this season of feeling like God was moving us, but not moving, not knowing what God was doing in you as a people, because this is where we came next, right? You don't know the other piece of that journey. We don't know the preparation specifically that he's making for us in heaven, the things that he's getting in line before his return. I didn't know what it looked like, but this tension that I was living in of getting ready to go and nothing happening and not seeing anything, God distinctly dropped in my spirit that the way that I felt about that gazebo was the way that I was to feel about his return. This tension that I was living in of doing everything in light of a move that I felt was coming, I was to be imitating in my Christian faith that everything I did was in light of his imminent return because he's near. But I wasn't. I really wasn't. I was not living my daily choices, my faith, my parenting, my marriage, all of it in light of the fact Jesus is near. He's coming. He's coming back for us, and it could be tomorrow morning. We have these jokes in Pentecostal circles, right? You come downstairs and the family has disappeared. You don't know they're in the basement watching TV. And what are you afraid of? Rapture. You missed it. You're out. Cheerios for you, but they're with Jesus. Right? It's this. We have moments where we capture a glimpse of it, but that is the tension we are called to live in all the time. So when we measure the things that we are anxious about in light of the tension that Jesus is near, are they still on the spectrum or not? That is what we're looking at here. And so we have this anxiety that we need to deal with. Well, he tells us, as he writes in Philippians here, that we are to deal with it by prayer and petition and thanksgiving. One of the worst things to do if you are in a mental health state of anxiety is pray. It's painful because you're basically, for most of us in the way we do it, trying to sit down, focus your thoughts on exactly the opposite of everything that's happening inside of you. It is a very, very overwhelming struggle to accomplish that. In a regular state of anxiety or worry, right? So you're worrying about making to the bank to pay your bill, or you're worried about the bumper on your car, or those kinds of things. You can stop that, and you can choose to focus on something else. What does that look like? Okay, well, I'm anxious about, let's go with this week's events for me. I was anxious about the board meeting. There were moments in that process of anxiety where I had the capability to stop and go, ah, God's got this. God's got the daycare thing. I know that. I've said it all along. He's worked it all out. He's got all the details ironed out. It's not something I need to stress about. I need to be diligent. And so, God, I'm just going to choose to thank you for the daycare. I'm going to choose to thank you for our building, and I'm going to choose to thank you that you're having your way. And in that moment, there are places along the way where you can do that, right? When I hit the panic attack moment, not so easy. But part of it is knowing, even in those seasons of mental unhealth, what God is doing that allows us to process those things out. And thanksgiving and prayer are actually our way of processing worry. They are the way that God has recommended for us, his prescription pad, so to speak, of getting out of that place so that we can be a people of gentleness. Because we need to be a people of gentleness, because otherwise no one's going to listen when we tell them Jesus is near, because they're going to say, you're just really stressed out. You're really anxious. So no, Jesus is not near. And if he is near, it's clearly not calming you down. We don't want to be those people, right? So we are looking to God to do that. When you look at the end of verse 7, it says that the peace of God, which transcends understanding, stands guard over your hearts and minds in Jesus. It's actually a military analogy, that just like a guard or a sentinel stands guard over something, God's peace will stand over your mind and will protect you and will guard your heart if you will lean into him in that praise and thanksgiving and prayer, even in the midst of the chaos that makes you want to worry. I would like a guard over my heart. I think that would be beneficial. I think it would be good. I think it would help a lot of us, right? Because we all, you know, and I poke fun at my life up here because it's easier and then I don't offend anyone. But we all have things that worry us. We all have things that stress us out. For some of us, it's family. It's wanting to have a family and it's not happening. For some of us, it's wanting a relationship that's not happening. For others of us, it's health issues, it's bills. We all have those things, right? But God is telling us that even in the midst of them, the fact that he is coming back to get us as his people is the thing that will calm us down. It's the thing to lay our sights on. Gabriel, can you hit the next slide, please? And if it's not enough that you can do that to get out of your state of worry, he has kind of a checklist you can process through right there in the scripture. So whatever you're thinking on, first point, Gabe, is it true? We worry about a lot of things that aren't true. We really do, don't we? Is it true that we don't care about our community if we get rid of the daycare? No, that's not true, so I don't need to worry about that. Done. Simple, right? Is it true that if I chose to have Lucky Charms and coffee for breakfast this morning that I'm going to collapse due to malnutrition by lunchtime? No, it's not true. So occasionally it's okay for me to make that choice, right? We have a way to weigh things out. Is it true, though, implies that we know right from wrong, true from false. So we're anchored to be able to make this choice in our life, right? Next one, Gabe. Is it noble? Is it honorable? If it's noble and honorable and it's stressing you out, then you got to dig into it a little bit. But if it's not noble and it's not honorable, set it aside. It's not worth worrying about because Jesus is coming back. Those are the kinds of things he's worried about. Is it right and reputable? Next one, Gabe. God is concerned with what's right. Period. He's a just God. He's a God of graciousness. He's a forgiving God, but he's just. So we're going to worry about the things that are right. Next, Gabe. Is it pure? Is it authentic? I value authenticity more than a lot of things because I think that it really is close to God's heart. I don't think that God wants us to look like a people who have it all put together when we don't. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I don't struggle with being anxious or being worried, because that's not true. So then when you see me in the grocery store and I'm having a moment where I'm not implementing this well, and you're going, well, she's not very truthful, she's anxious. No, just so you know, you're probably going to still see me anxious because I'm human and I don't do things perfectly. I think that scripture is clear that God values sharing what's really happening in our journey. That's why we have testimonies, right? Because the word of our testimony encourages other people. They can identify with where you've been and what God has done in your life. Is it lovely? Does it bring peace, is what that means. Think on things that are peaceable. Think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are true, that are just. These are the things that we are supposed to dwell on. So if what you are thinking about is not lining up with these things, then somehow we need to just check it, right? We need to set it to the side. Is it admirable? Is it of good reputation? That is a big one. Right? There are a lot of things we can think about that just really are not admirable. That's not where we're to let our thoughts rest or live. The next one, is it excellent? Gabriel and I had a very long conversation last night about God's heart for us to be a people of excellence. Not a people of perfection, which for those of us who are perfectionists is a little bit of a difficult pill to swallow sometime, and God refines that out. But we are to be a people who strive for excellence, to do everything to the best of our ability. So when Liz got my message this morning and agreed to lead worship and help out and to lead us all this morning, Liz might leave feeling like it wasn't her best set of worship. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was excellent. But Liz's heart is to do her best, to give God her most excellent, best heart and effort in worship this morning, because that's what he asks of us. And at the end of the day, that might look a little different one day to another. It might. But as long as we're striving to give him our best effort, God values that in our heart because that's what's right. That's what's true. That's what's authentic. That's what, and that's what he's concerned about, is our heart. Is it worthy of praise? Are you thinking of things that are worthy of you giving them more space by speaking about them, by giving credit to them? We can praise more than God. We don't like to think about that, but we can, right? If we've dug into for the last couple weeks that praise is boasting on something, praise is proclaiming it, it's giving it the highest space in our life. I know some people that give high space and boast and proclaim things in their life that are not godly. So if it's not godly and you're praising it, set it aside. Super simple. Maybe a little more difficult to execute, but the awareness is key in that moment. And so we have this test of things that we can do here to try and help us move through this anxiety, okay? So if you're sitting down and you're praising and you're trying to petition God and you're trying to bring it before him and you're trying to be thankful, but you're struggling more, this is like a checklist of how to just kind of move through. And actually, interestingly enough, if you go to a psychologist and you're struggling with anxiety, they will give you a checklist very similar to this. And they will say, if at any point you can't answer yes, you have to dismiss the thought. You have to find a way to set it aside and not dwell on it because you haven't been able to check off all of them. If you have a thought that you can't let go and you can check off every one of these things, then that's a thought you need to dig into, and that's a place that you need to put effort, and that's something you need to do hard work in. Some things that align. But if you can't check off every one of these boxes, you're done. Because it's the thing that's stopping you from praise and thanksgiving. It's taking its place. I love that scripture is like smarter than the smart. Really, like they didn't have counseling degrees when this stuff was written. But people get paid like $100 an hour to tell you this right now. You can buy it in a Bible, not at Walmart, right, Sylvia? In Canada, you can't buy it in a Bible at Walmart. No, but Sylvia has her way. We're getting Bibles at Walmart. You can buy it in a Bible at so many bookstores, and for like $80, $100, if you get a really good one, you can keep it for the rest of your life, and you have the checklist for forever. That's how good God is. And if you do these things, let's look at the end of the passage, okay? Whatever you have learned or received from me or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, can I have the next slide? This picture might look familiar to some of you. Does anyone recognize it? This was from our very first sermon on Thanksgiving, where we talked about the Irene peace of Jesus dwelling within us when we had a transformed mind. And I am about to point out something to you that blew my mind just a tiny, tiny little bit yesterday as I dug into this stuff. So what the verse says that I just read, we've already looked at peace in this passage, right? In this tiny little portion of scripture, you've already heard the word peace once at the end of verse 7, that the God who transcends understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Sorry, the God of peace. And here we're told, if you put it into practice, the God of peace will be with you. Gabe, can you hit the first one on the slide? Oh. Go back to the picture. Can you click it again? Thanksgiving Sunday, we talked about let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You were called to peace and to be thankful. Okay? That was Thanksgiving Sunday. Peace and thankful. Gabriel? And the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, verse 7. That's the earlier portion of today's scripture. Next one. And the God of peace will be with you. There is an intricate tie in scripture between the passages that talk about thanksgiving and the passages that talk about peace. I think it was Matthew Henry actually says that scripture prescribes as the antidote to anxiety thanksgiving. If you want to get out of your anxiety, thanksgiving is the place that you find freedom and deliverance in that. How cool is that? don't know about you, but I can use some peace in a busy and chaotic, stressful world. How is it that something so simple can be so profound? That's why if you look at any of the top, like, I guess we'll call them self-help books right now, they will tell you to do something they call practicing gratitude. Get a notebook every night before you go to bed. In your gratitude journal, write down at least 5 things that you're thankful for. Scripture says it first, people. If we're thankful, we have peace. If we're thankful, we can talk to God. And when we can't focus on the thankfulness because we're in worry, talking to God and bringing to him what we are worried about is what allows us to be thankful and provides us with peace. So our lives are transformed if we're thankful. Our lives are transformed when we're found in Christ, and in that we express thankfulness in worship. In worship, we express thankfulness and praise and adoration of God because of who he is and all that he's done for us and the forgiveness that he's extended to us. And in worry, we can go to God and we can petition him and we can pray and we can talk to him and we will be thankful. And if we are struggling, we have a checklist to go through and express our thankfulness and set aside the things that don't focus on him. Thanksgiving is a huge part of worship. It's a huge part of relationship with Christ. So many people come to Christ because they are looking for internal peace. Eternal peace too, but internal peace. Part of that is thanksgiving. Huge part of it. And if we are silly enough to believe that once a year we can do that, I don't know about you, but I don't need peace once a year. I definitely need it a little bit more frequently than that. Which means it needs to be a more frequent part of my worship. It needs to be a more frequent part of my prayer life. It needs to be something that I practice daily. Because that is God's heart for us. And so I really was blown away when I started looking and seeing that this tie is so, so close together. I don't see how after this month of studying scriptures, our worship can be the same. I really don't. I don't see how we cannot worship more vocally. I don't see how we cannot worship more demonstratively. I don't see how our worship can't be centered. It has to be centered on God. Because if it's not centered on God, then it's not centered on what it's to be centered on. And it will create in us the opportunity to express a thankfulness that is overwhelming. And when we do these things, he will be faithful to show himself among us. And so I am incredibly, incredibly blessed to see God's hand as he weaves thankfulness and praise and all of these things through the scripture and unfolds that to us this month. So what I'm wondering if we can do is that if Troy, could you come up to the guitar? Liz, Tim, you can come too. I want to provide you with we're just going to do one song. And in that, as we worship in this song, you can sing the words to the song, or with your mind, because it's checked in, you can think about the things that you're thankful about, and you can express those to God. You can use your words to express them to God. You can pull out a piece of paper and you can write them down. If what's pressing on your mind is not what you're thankful for, but what you're worried about, take it to God. He says we can petition him with it. And when you take it to him, I promise that probably what's going to happen is he's going to start showing you the things that you can be thankful for that are going to work around that worry in your life. Because his desire is for us to be a people of thanks, not a people of worry. And so this morning, you can stand up if you are able. If you're not, you can stay sitting. And you can express your thankfulness to God in this moment before we close out and send you all home for the week in the way that is intimate and meaningful to you. Because God is not concerned about, he's not concerned about what it looks like. He's concerned about what your heart looks like. And sometimes in worship, we lose a little bit of sight on that. We're concerned about what other people would think about us or what we think about us or whatever. But God is concerned about your heart. So I want to give you a second this morning to express your heart of thanks to him.
Worthy is the Lamb. devil was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy of lightning, rolls of thunder. Sing in honor, strength, and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Who was it? To come, yeah. The whole creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
God, as we go into this week, we are filled with wonder at you, at your mercies that show up every day for us. new and fresh. The grace that you extend to us, the peace that you offer, it stands guard at our hearts. We don't take it for granted because we know the alternative. And so, God, this morning, we just say thank you. Thank you so much for showing us the way of peace. Thank you so much for showing us the way of love. Thank you for allowing us the ability to speak with you directly, to come to you with the things that burden our minds, to come to you with the things that we're just busy trying to solve on our own, and to be able to see them in light of your imminent return. We thank you, God, for the peace that that brings to our hearts. God, would you help us to go out of here today and be a people whose gentleness is known to all around us. Be a people whose thankfulness is known to all around us. God, because in that, you will make yourself known to a people who don't know you. And that is a big deal. That is huge. God, we desire not only to know you and to have you move in our lives, but to use us to make you known to others. God, would you stir up in us a heart that is passionate for others to know you, God, that we're not so focused on the fact that we have eternity, but God, that we would be focused on the fact that your heart is to extend eternity to all, that you will that none would perish, God. Would you let that burn deep in our hearts this week as we focus on you, as we praise you, as we reflect on your goodness in our circumstances? God, would you allow us to be a people who your peace and love flows out of so freely that it brings it to the people who don't know you? Would you encourage them in that, God? Would you let it be an open door for conversation? Would you give us the words to speak when people ask us about this God that we serve that they don't know? God, you use all things together for your good. And so we trust you this week. We look for your Irene peace in our lives. Not one that can be fabricated from other things, but comes straight from your throne. And we will thank you abundantly for it and for all the things you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you have a blessed and peaceful week full of thanksgiving and praise and interactions with people that provide you the opportunity to share about God with them as you walk things out. So have a great week, and we'll see you next week.